The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's pray. Father, bless now the preaching of the word this morning. Help me as I bring the message. Again, open our hearts, open our ears to these truths. Help us, Lord, just to hear that still small voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, drawing each of us closer to you. And again, Lord, I pray and ask, if there be any here today that have never received Christ, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you would do a work in their lives and draw them, and that this would be the day they'd call upon Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you give me to stand behind this pulpit to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for each and every person that's here today, their willingness to come and to be ministered to. So, Lord, give us listening ears. Help it to be an act of worship, our attentiveness to the message. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have here one of the great stories in the Bible, the story of blind Bartimaeus. And as Jesus is leaving the city of Jericho and he's on his way to Jerusalem, there's Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the highway, begging and blind. And as I already mentioned, there is really no place on this earth where you can't minister unto the Lord. Amen? I mean, no place. And so today we're talking about out and about and being on the highways. Hey, you young people in school, there's no reason you can't minister while you're in school for the Lord. You that are at work, there's no reason you can't minister at work and talk about the Lord. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, out in the shopping center. Or if you're out on the Highways and Hedges campaign, knocking on somebody's door and just giving them a flyer and letting them know about Jesus. All through the Bible, there are illustrations of that. If you look on your handout quickly, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just gave one example from every one of the Gospels. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, this is right after Jesus had gone up to the mountain and he preached with the disciples the Sermon on the Mount. So on the way down out of the mountain, he comes across a leper who worshipped him, and Jesus heals them. Or in Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus is teaching by the seaside in Capernaum. I've been to that spot where he taught, and there was such a crowd that he had to go out a little ways from shore in a boat. And as he's out in the boat, he's preaching to the people, and this is the instance where he's preaching the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow the seed of God's word. But there he is. He's out and about. Or in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, Ethan preached on this several weeks ago on a Sunday morning where the Bible there in Jericho as well, where Zacchaeus lived. And Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to get to Jesus. And as Jesus is passing through the streets, there's Zacchaeus up in the tree. And Jesus says, "Come on down. And we're going to your house today." So there he is out on the streets just talking to people, sharing himself with people. Or in John chapter 4 and verse 7, there right at the beginning of the Gospel of John, there's Jesus. The Bible says that of Jesus he must needs go through Samaria. And as he's going through Samaria, he stops and there's the woman at the well. And he begins to teach her about a different type of water. Not the water she's going to draw from the ground there at Jacob's well, but there's a living water, and he is that living water. And whether it's in the Bible or historically. I mean, I was doing some reading this week on the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening. The preacher from the Great Awakening here in the United States, his name was George Whitefield. He was nicknamed the Great Itinerant. Because of Whitefield's message, a lot of the churches wouldn't even have Whitefield come in and preach in the churches. He was too direct. He was too strong. He was too forceful. And he preached too much of the gospel, I think is what it was. So he'd go out into the fields, and people would come out in the fields, and he would preach to people in the fields. And then in the Second Great Awakening, one of the famous preachers was a man by the name of Peter Cartwright. And Peter Cartwright, his nickname was God's Plowman. He would go into the frontiers of our nation there in the 1800s, and they called him God's Plowman because he was plowing up not the literal fields, but he was plowing up the fields spiritually and calling people to salvation and preaching the gospel. Matthew Henry, one of the great commentators, said this. He said, "Where the gospel is preached or the written words of truth circulated, Jesus is passing by." Because this is what was happening with blind Bartimaeus. There he is sitting by the side of the road. He can't see, but he hears that Jesus... Just close your eyes, if you would, for a minute. Pretend that you're blind. And there he is, and he hears that Jesus is coming. He hears perhaps the crowd. As I've kind of read through this and studied it, I can only imagine that Jesus had already entered into Jericho, and so word of Jesus was there. Maybe he knew, did blind Bartimaeus, the story there in John chapter 9 of the man that was born blind, and perhaps he's thinking of that. But there he is, and Jesus is passing by, and he cries out. You can open your eyes now if you haven't already. He cries out. I want you to see some things with regards to blind Bartimaeus and why it is that we go out and leave these gospel tracts, because you want to know something? Every door that we knocked on yesterday and talked with somebody or left one of these, every door, every person you give a tract to, every person that you give a testimony to, that you witness to, that you maybe even invite them to come to church to hear the gospel, every time that happens, Jesus is passing by. Every time. That's their opportunity. That's their moment. That's their place. So now on the back of your handout, we're going to go through these fairly quickly. I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning, but three things with regards to Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Number one, people are deceived because of their blindness. He's blind. You know, the other day, my wife and I, we took a ride. And by the way, if you want to take a beautiful ride with foliage right now, I was talking to someone before the service, we took off for an afternoon, maybe a couple of hours on the motorcycle, and we drove through Reedsboro, and then we went to Whitingham, to Jacksonville, and up to Wilmington. And the fall foliage is absolutely stunning. Funny thing was, we got past Mount Snow, and we kept going north, and we got down. Everything else was green. We thought afterwards, we just should have stayed right around home, because it was some of the most beautiful colors right now. Just beautiful. And I thought, as I was preparing this, I'm so glad I can see that, aren't you? I mean, I really am. And we live in a beautiful weather. It's this time of year, or winter coming, when the snows come, or hiking through the woods, or just looking around. We don't live far from the ocean. We went and visited the ocean this summer, and just to be able to see that, we take our sight for granted. We really do. And here's blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the roadside. But I want you to understand, there's more to this than just a man being healed, because the Scriptures teach us some things. Number one, I've already said it, but people, because of their blindness, can be deceived. Blindness can deceive a person. And notice on your handout, I put all of these verses here to save time rather than look them up. But number one, the Bible talks about a satanic blindness, a blindness of Satan, that Satan wants to blind you. And Satan has been very successful. I heard a horrific story. I forget what it's called, but there's some type of a don't even know what you would call it, a condition that people have that they feel that they want to be handicapped. Some type of a phenomenon. And I heard in the news, maybe you saw it, that a woman actually took some type of an agent and she had it, either she did it or had someone put it on her eyes, and she caused her own blindness. There is a satanic blindness. Look on your handout, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul wrote, "If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God," small g, you notice, that's not talking about the God that we worship, that's talking about Satan, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan works overtime to blind people to the truth of Jesus Christ. And probably more than anything else, he probably uses false religions. Listen, Satan is called the prince of darkness. Sometimes he appears as the angel of light, but his real motive is to blind people. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Satan blinds people by convincing them there are many ways to have your sins forgiven. There are many ways to get to heaven. There are many religions that will take you to the same destination. That's part of that spiritual blindness. Or sometimes, as we discussed in our Sunday school class today, and I'm kind of getting a little ahead of myself because it'll be religious blindness, but he blinds us through our own morality. Listen, John chapter 10 says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He does that through satanic blindness. But then notice we'll move on to the religious blindness. Matthew 15, 14, Jesus says to the Pharisees, now they were the religious leaders of the day. They were supposed to be guiding people into truth. They were supposed to be pointing people to eternal life. And Jesus said, "Let them alone." And by the way, that phrase there, "let them alone," it's a very strong phrase. He's really saying, listen, do not have any kind of religious connection with them. It's not, just kind of let them do what they're doing. No. He's saying, don't even be connected with them. Stay away from them. Why? Because they be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Very strong language from the Lord. And so in our adult Sunday school class today, Pastor Ethan we've been doing a great series the last few weeks. If you're not coming, I encourage you to come. It's been a discussion about works and grace. Much of it out of the book of Romans. That we're saved by grace, apart from, separate from, works. Well, much of the religious blindness today is about living a moral code. And if you live the right kind of a moral code, it's like, yeah, you need to trust in Jesus to save you, but you have to do your part as well. And much of our discussion in Sunday school has been, no. Salvation is all of the Lord. But people are blinded religiously because of a moral code or traditions or work versus grace. In this instance, the Pharisees elsewhere, and we don't have time to turn there, Jesus condemned them. He said, you put heavy burdens upon your people, that they have to do this, and they have to do this, and they have to do this to get to heaven. And he says, you don't even keep those yourself. And you are the blind leading the blind. So we need to be careful of that kind of deception, a satanic blindness, a religious blindness. But then there's a spiritual blindness. Look on your hand at Ephesians 4:18. Paul writes, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Those who just sit in darkness. Those who live in it and really love in it. Love it. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation. that men love darkness rather than light. And then he said this, because their deeds were evil. That's a type of blindness. A type of blindness. In fact, some people, I think, didn't think about this till now, much like that poor woman who deliberately blinded herself, there's some people who want to be deliberately blinded from the truth of God's word because they know that the things that they do in their life are condemned by the word of God. And they would much rather live in darkness than live in light. And then there's a believer's blindness. Do you know it's possible for you and I even to have a blindness, even as believers? 2 Peter says this. Look at what it says on the handout. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Peter's writing to believers there. And cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. This is where Peter had said to believers, listen, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. And if these things be in you, ye shall abound, he says. But then he went on and he said what I just read. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. We're finding in our study in the book of Amos on Wednesday night that when Amos the prophet arrives on the scene and he begins to preach to the Israelites, that they kind of looked around and said, really? We don't think there's anything wrong here. They were spiritually blind. They were fleshly blind. They just didn't see it coming. And you and I, sometimes in our lives, we don't even realize it, that we're not really seeing things the way that God wants us to see them. So we need to be careful of that. Now there's Bartimaeus, and he's blind. And secondly, not only is he blind, but he's begging. He's begging. Have you ever seen a real beggar? I mean a real beggar. When I was in Israel, I'll never forget, I was sitting in a little restaurant. And I think, I'm not sure, Brother Frank, if you were sitting there with me, but Brother Taylor was sitting there with me. We were having something to drink, and a woman came up. She was a beggar. And I really could, I guess, as best if I tried to describe her, you really wouldn't get the gist of it. But she was a beggar. She was poor. She was filthy. She had some, her face was disfigured. I couldn't remember clearly if she was blind or not. I remember there was something about her eyes, and she came begging at our table. And honestly, we were sitting there, and I was just moved to give her something. It's one thing to be blind, but then to be begging as well. Have nothing. And that's Bartimaeus. But listen, that's also you and me. Not only do we have to be careful of spiritual blindness. I was sharing with someone earlier today, too, how it's just amazing that for 24 years, I was spiritually blind to the gospel. I didn't get saved till I was 24 years old. Then my wife, it took me 20, and I heard it for 24 years. 24 years, I heard about Jesus, heard about Jesus, heard about Jesus. He kept passing by. He kept passing by. He kept passing by, and I'm glad that he kept passing by, and he kept giving me opportunity. And I'm just always amazed that my wife really heard the gospel once. The first time Jesus passed by in Shelley's life, she cried out, Lord, save me. But listen, people, we're all destitute. We have nothing to offer the Lord, just like blind Bartimaeus. Nothing. Nothing. We're wanting. We're lacking. We're spiritually poor. When Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the whole world became spiritually bankrupt. And that's you and I. That was Bartimaeus. He's blind and he's poor. He's more than poor. He's begging. He's begging for things. But he hears about Jesus. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, I thought of this. We're not there yet in our Wednesday night study, but listen to what the Bible says. And really, I believe that this verse, it's amazing. Amos was written 2,600 years ago, approximately. How much in Amos is you can see it happening today even. But God said through Amos, he said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." That's where we are today. There's a famine. Why is it that people, they're in people's lives and families and marriages, and that they are literally destitute? Or maybe I shouldn't say literally. People have things, but they're still destitute. They're spiritually destitute. They're emotionally destitute. Why is that? And I think part of our culture and what we're seeing today is because that there's a famine for the Word of God today. So listen, I believe with all my heart that this book, the Bible that we hold in our hand, it is the answer to everything in life. It is life. It is the living Word. It is the Word of God that you and I need. It brings life. It is what. And so when we go out and we visit people and we invite people, we share. Usually when I leave one of these with someone, I say, "Listen, would you just take this to it, spend a few moments on the back of this? It reminds you of what Jesus has done for us." Why do I do that? Because people all through this community, all through this county, all through this country, I believe the answer is the Word of God and the Son of God and then the Holy Spirit of God getting a hold of their hearts. And so when we bring this to people, it's Jesus passing by. And as they read the gospel, you can know real love. You can know real forgiveness. Listen, there are people in the world looking for real love. There are people in the world looking for real forgiveness. There are people in the world that would like to know Jesus. Sometimes we think, well, that's not the case. You'd be shocked at how many homes I knock on the door and we tell kids about, you know, we've got, and the moms are there. I always say, "Is your mom home or your dad home?" And we say to them, "Listen, we've got a great Sunday school and we do this, we do this, we do this." And you see sometimes the children, "Mom, can I go? Dad, can I go? Can I go? Can I go?" I mean, that's what they say. "Can I go?" They get excited. And each time that happens, Jesus is passing by. And in your life and in my life, even as believers, we come, we sit under the preaching or the teaching of God's Word, or we come to a Bible study or a Wednesday, Sunday night service, or we have our devotions. I hope we're doing that. And that's Jesus passing by. And we could be, listen, I am sure that there are others. As blind Bartimaeus yelled out, he's calling for Jesus, there were those that were telling him, "Sit down, be quiet." And every time the Word of God is being preached, and every time the Word of God is being taught, and every time you open the Word of God, there is the prince of darkness, Satan himself, that is saying to you, "Sit down, shut up, let Jesus pass by." Many times, Satan is very successful in our lives. We're just blind to it. That's believers' blindness. We're like the church in Laodicea. They were blind. That was one of the conditions of the church in Laodicea. You read it there in the gospel or in the book of Revelation. They were not only lukewarm, but the Spirit of God said they were blind. They were blind to their lukewarmness. People are destitute. People need the Lord. We need the Lord. But nobody was going to tell Bartimaeus to sit down. "No, this is my opportunity," he said. "Nothing's going to stop me from hearing and getting close to Jesus. Nothing." Wouldn't that be good if that was our attitude all the time? "Nothing's going to stop me from hearing the preaching of God's Word. Nothing's going to stop me from getting to Bible study. Nothing's going to stop me from getting together with other believers and pray. Nothing. Nothing." When Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst." thirst after righteousness. And so there's Bartimaeus. Now notice what it says in the text. Not only so far we've seen he's blind, he's begging, but I love this. The Bible says, verse 48, we'll read that again. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And the Bible says, I love this in verse 50, "And he casteth away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus." You understand, if this man was blind, and number two, he was a beggar, probably the only thing that he owned was his garment. He left everything that he had, anything that was worth anything to him, he put that aside because it was vitally important that he come to Jesus. Hebrews 12:1, I was reminded, says, "Laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." Nothing was going to stop Bartimaeus. Nothing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I've already said it, but I believe with all my heart that he had heard about Jesus. He had known that Jesus was in Jericho, and the accounts of Jesus were widespread. And I believe with all my heart, as he heard him coming, that in the heart of Bartimaeus, he said, "I know for sure that this man could heal my blindness." And let me just say this morning that whatever your need is, this man, Jesus, is the great healer. He is the great healer. He is the great problem solver. He is the great deliverer. He is the one who, the Bible says, sets the prisoner free. He calls, like the little Sunday school chorus we sing, he sets the captives free. He calls the blind to see. He's able, he's able. I know that he is able. I know my Lord is able to set me free. And that's what Bartimaeus thought. He wanted to be delivered. He wanted it so bad. He's a beggar. There's people there, quote unquote, that were more important to him. "Sit down, be quiet, shut up." "No, I'm not," he said. "I want Jesus." And Jesus says to him, Jesus said unto him, verse 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And in a moment, in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye, the man can see. You and I have no idea what that must have been like. Can you imagine being blind all of your life and begging all of your life, and in a moment, all of a sudden, you can see the world? Wow. As close as you and I can get to that is the day that we got saved. And all of a sudden, the scales were lifted from our eyes. The reality of the fact that I'm a sinner, condemned, unclean, unworthy, all of a sudden, the burden of guilt and of shame is lifted, because all of a sudden, now I see Jesus for who he is. My Savior, the one who died and paid for my sin, the one who did it all for me. Just think back for a moment, if you can, the day that you came to realize that. Because before that, listen, you were lost and you were on your way to hell. You were on your way to hell. You were going to spend an eternity in a place called hell. But all of a sudden, really? Now I understand. Now I see. It all became clear. That was Bartimaeus. And he was delivered that day. He was delivered more from his blindness. One of the great, by the way, one of the great hymn writers, many of her hymns are in our hymn book, is Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby was, I think if I remember correctly, about 6 years old when she went. Her blindness was not a natural blindness. She had some sores or something in her eyes, and the regular doctor in town was not there. And a doctor was passing through town. He was a quack. He wasn't really a doctor. And he put hot mustard packs on Fanny Crosby's eyes. And she became blind from the time she was just a little baby for the rest of her life. But she was an incredible person. She accepted Christ as her Savior. She actually wrote secular music before she began to write hymns. It was a very successful secular songwriter in her day. But she devoted her life to writing hymns. Hymns like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, Oh, What a Foretaste of Glory Divine. And as you read through her hymns, she sees more about this world than most people see. How could that be? She's blind. It's just the Spirit of God in her life. She wouldn't let that, never was bitter, never was angry. You know, sometimes we're going through things in life and we get bitter and we get angry, and there's Jesus, he's passing by. Something about Fanny Crosby, when Jesus was passing by as a young person, she quickly grabbed a hold of him and said, he's my Savior, he's the one. It's a good lesson for us to learn. It's good to be delivered because we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, but listen, Jesus is passing by every day. And this man, listen, look what it says, and I finish with this, he became a disciple. That's what we become when we accept Jesus. Notice that as we finish up, it says, and Jesus said, verse 52, unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight. And what happened? He didn't go anywheres but where Jesus went. And he followed Jesus in the way. That's what he did. He followed Jesus. How about you? Following Jesus. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. You know, over 230 times in the New Testament, the word disciples is found. Bartimaeus was a disciple. He followed Jesus. So you go out into the highways, you go out into the hedges. You go out and you meet people and talk with people and share Jesus with people. Why? Because the world has been deceived by the God small g of this world. People need the God big G of this world, the one true living God. People have been deceived by satanic blindness and religious blindness and by spiritual blindness and by even believers' blindness. And people are destitute. They're just begging. They're just beggars. And we have the opportunity. I've never forgot it, that when I was taking my courses in ministerial studies, Harold Wilmington said this of himself, and I've always thought of myself this way, that I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I don't have any illusions. I'm no great Bible teacher. I'm no great Bible scholar. But I can take a piece of bread, the Word of God, and give it to somebody else. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Whether it's here in the church house or whether it's at Walmart or whether it's knocking on somebody's door. The highways are filled with people. They need Jesus. That's what a church ought to be about. Amen? People need Jesus. You and I needed Jesus. You and I need Jesus every day. Well, there's other people like you and me. There's other people like your family, other families like yours. They need Jesus. They need the love of Christ, and they need to learn about Christ, but most of all, they need to be saved and become disciples. Become disciples. Grow in grace. Bible readers. That's what a disciple is. And having regular prayer life and a regular church life. None of these things save a person, but once they've received Christ, once their faith has made them whole, that's what naturally should happen. We learned this. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. The Spirit of God lives inside of us. So now if the Spirit of God truly lives inside of us, then the Bible reading and the church life and sharing our faith with others, and it translates this way. We become sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. The conviction of sin in our lives, and the conviction or the constraint of the Holy Spirit of serving the Lord and living a sacrificial life, all flows because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. That's what happened to Bartimaeus. He didn't get up and say, well, I can see now, I'm going to take an 80-day trip around the world. No, he said, I'm going to follow Jesus. Follow, I will follow Jesus. That's what he said. So today, this morning, right now, Jesus is passing by. He's passing by. The Word of God was preached. The Holy Spirit of God is taking that and speaking to your heart. The question is, are you going to be like blind Bartimaeus and call out and say, Lord, and as a believer, in this particular area, I need your insight. In this particular area, I need your vision. In this particular area, or are you going to let the spirit of this world say, just sit down, shut up, and don't listen. Be quiet. But Jesus is passing by. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, Jesus is passing by. Without Christ, you're lost, and you're on your way to hell. I can't change that. You can't change that. But Jesus can change that. You must understand that you're a sinner. You must believe that Jesus died and he paid for your sin. And by faith, you trust in him, and he will make you whole. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed this morning. Our eyes are closed. Maybe you're like blind Bartimaeus. Maybe as an individual, a person, you're saying, you know, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian. I'm not sure that I'm saved. And I understand that I'm destitute. I have nothing to offer the Lord. You might say, and some people might say, oh, God, he wouldn't want me. I have nothing to offer him. No, if you have that mindset right now, you're just where God wants you to be. I have nothing to offer. It's not really until you get to that place where you say, I have nothing to offer the Lord, that you can be saved. You might say, oh, you know, I've kind of been blind to this. I thought just by being a good person and going to church would get me to heaven. No, that's not how it works. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus and him alone. And if you're here and you say, I'm not sure about that, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I need to call upon the Lord. I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to put my faith and trust solely in Jesus Christ. What did Bartimaeus have to offer? Nothing. He was blind and he was begging. There was nothing that he could do except trust Jesus by faith. And you trust him by faith when you admit that you're a sinner and you believe that he died and paid for your sins and you call upon him to be your Savior. You are blind Bartimaeus. And if you're here and that's you, would you do this? You say, preacher, that's me. I need to get saved.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.